Toy Power Podcast is a free podcast made possible by the support of our awesome Patreon sponsors. Head to toypowerpodcast.com and see how you can help.
Oh yeah, this is power.
Hello and welcome to Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. G'day, it's Trent here, and it is so wonderful to have your company today for episode 349.5. Still notching up a few more.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There is light at the end of the tunnel.
We'll get to that in a minute. So joining me today in the Toy Power studio, we've got Scotty.
Hello there.
Frank.
Hello.
G'day, g'day. Hey.
You didn't even wait for the Benjamin.
Oh.
And a very special guest, Morgan, the Transformers G1 aficionado. Welcome to Toy Power.
No worries, lads. Good to be here.
Morgatron on the Discord. And listening for about 7 years, it's going to make Morgan one of the longest serving Toy Power listeners.
Right. Yeah, like I said, we've been around for a little while and picked it up off of a couple of their little cards there at their... The Toy Fair a few years back. So,
guerrilla marketing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nicely done. Today we're going to go through the news. And we often have this thing where we say, oh, it's a slow news week. But
halfway through the week, it's a slow news week. You're going to have to start looking at other venues to scrape some news together. Yep. And then bang, it just exploded, didn't it?
Hit at the end. And then we'll touch on a bit of reading, watching, playing some very, very good television on at the moment as well. But Frank, I do want to get over to you because you had a big trip to Sydney for a very special gala event, a world premiere screening of the episode, The Sign.
The Sign
from Bluey. Tell us a little bit about that and how that all went.
Yeah, so we what is going on with this microphone? Apologies, listeners. I'll see if I can work this out. Do you know what? I'm going to steal Ben's microphone for this. Oh, my God, that's so much better. The other show I run is the Hammerbarn Project, and we is a Bluey podcast for those that don't know. And 2 years ago, we got an email from Ludo saying we want Brendan on our show to be a voice. That's how long this episode took to put together. So we got an invite saying, oi, come up to Sydney. Unfortunately, it was the same night as the Radical Rewinds Ninja Turtles screening. It's not much that could make me miss that, but this was one of those things. We got to meet all the creators from Bluey and all that sort of stuff and watch our mate debut. It was literally the world premiere. It had not been shown anywhere at that point, pre-Disney Plus, pre-BBC, all that stuff. And yeah, we were walking along. We're just like, oh, I think we're in the right area. It was a Hoyt Cinema. 100 meters down the road, I see this big, taxi van pull up. His family and his kids start coming out. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Joe Brum, like the creator of Bluey. You know, picked him from 100 meters away. And went up, shook his hand. He was doing that thing where he was just being polite and sort of, and then he had a flick of recognition and goes, oh, you guys are the Hammerbarn guys. Can I get a selfie with you? And we're like, yes. Is it opposite day? What is going on here? Really great to chat to him. And because of that, we've now got all these interviews lined up on the show. We've already chatted to Joe. We were chatting to Uncle Strife, basically, on the show. He's Joe's real-life brother, and he's like a sound engineer. And he's like, oh, I love this line and this line. We're just having a great old time. We got to meet, I'm not allowed to name them, but we got to meet a couple of the real life child actors who have been kept out of the media and stuff. I got a high five from Muffin, who is probably my favorite character. Really, really cool. And then it was just, afterwards it was all done and we were just like, I need a drink because we were just sort of, just that hovering sort of floating. I can't believe we'd been a part of it.
Well, some big names in that episode. I think Joel Edgerton.
Yeah. Rove was the annoying real estate agent.
Oh, funny about that.
Yeah, right. He acted it really well. Yeah. And Brendan's role was part of a couple, and his wife, I assume, or partner in the show, was Deborah Mailman.
Yep.
And so there was these jokes going, Deborah Mailman, Brendan is a mailman in real life. Was that deliberate or not?
Great.
He's like, I never got to meet Deborah. But really, really good fun. So massive thanks to Bluey and Ludo and BBC and everyone. It was a weekend I will not forget in a hurry.
That is fantastic. Very good. Love to hear that story. That's such a cool podcast story to get picked up, for Brendan to get picked up off the Hammerbarn project and get cast into that episode, which was the big episode. Because I guess the big deal is the episode was like a full sort of half hour length, 28 minutes. Yeah, which hasn't been done before. So
I have a question. So when does the Frank character debut on Louis?
Unfortunately, I was not selected to be a voice. I only had so many roles to go around. So just Brendan, and Joe did sort of apologise to us on that note. But
I'm sure they've got a few seasons coming down the line. Well, they can fit you in there.
You know, we've shaken hands with the creator. He listens to us. It's funny, we're chatting to his wife, and she goes, "Oh, you know, what do you do?" And I said, "Oh, we're the Hammerbarn." She goes, "Oh, we love your show." And I was like, "Well, this might surprise you, but we love your show." So yeah, it was good times.
No, that's fantastic. I know a couple of the guys from Lego Masters got to go to the Logies.
Oh yeah.
And they, you know, sat in the sort of like non core room. It was like the room, second room, with all the kind of B grade reality TV celebrities. But apparently the one guy, and this was I think coming from, you know, like David and Gus David and those kind of guys. Joe Brum was the one guy that recognized them, went up and gave them like the high five, going, "Love the show, love Lego Masters, love what you do," and sort of made them feel really special. So like, it doesn't surprise me.
He's such a good dude. Yeah. Like, you know, he made us feel like celebrities when he was easily the biggest name there. Like, yeah, wonderful.
Ah, really cool.
What a legend.
Mm. All right, let's get into some of this.
3, 2, 1.
Cue music.
So what have you got for me?
I'm Batman.
But she's got a new hat.
All right, so we have got some Marvel Legends news. They did one of their live streams, as they do. This is to celebrate the 85th anniversary of Marvel Comics. So they sort of, it's a bit of a hodgepodge of a wave. Some people really didn't like it. I kind of think it hits a lot of different, you know, different parts of the Marvel Universe. Some of these, probably the annoying part about this is they're not a single wave in that some are available now, some are later in the year. This one's an exclusive, that one's not. That's probably the most disappointing aspect, but some very, very cool figures overall. We get Scar, we get Warbird, we get Wolverine as the Astonishing version, I believe. Superior Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, Iron Fist, and a Luke Cage. So some redos, but some of them, as we sort of flick through the photos, are actually quite quite well done. This is, Wolverine in his Astonishing costume. So he's got more blue around his shoulders. He's just a regular release because, you know, we all need more Wolverines in our collection.
I need my 300th Wolverine.
Exactly.
Wolverine 349.5.
That alternate head is really cool. I do like that. The unmasked head there. We keep going. Iron Fist and Luke Cage, they're going to be a two-pack. Very classic looking Danny Rand in the green and the yellow. Luke Cage, I believe, is a redo from the Defenders box set. Just he's got a more comic accurate head, but I do love he's got the a Luke and a Cage. What are they?
Knuckle dusters.
Knuckle dusters. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So they're a two pack that's available for pre-order in a couple of days as of this recording. Warbird, who other people might know as Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. This is how she appeared in most of her Avengers runs before sort of switching to the MCU costume that most people know. Is listed as a Target exclusive. If you have a look at the joints and stuff on this, she's got butterfly joints. She's got all the other, she's got drop hips as well, so she can get those really deep sort of, you know, kneeling or crouching poses. Alternate heads, fire effects and stuff. Still for the standard Marvel Legends price, which is really nice, but I believe that on the live stream they were saying they've reworked their standard female.
Yeah,
you know,
it's body. Noticeable as well.
Mm. Excuse me. So she's one that, and she's very hard to find in that costume. Very hard to find in the line.
Okay,
that's a good looking Miss Marvel. I like that. Yeah,
definitely.
And the, like two different masks over the eyes as well. On the
that's the alternate heads. You got one with the more sort of flowing, like she's flying through the air, and then. But you're right, because the mask styles changed over the years.
Yeah,
so you've got either option depending on which one is yours. What we got? Scar, Son of Hulk. This is a big, he's a class as a deluxe figure, so he's a little bit more expensive, around the $40 USD, which means it'd be about $2,000 at Zing. This guy is a Pulse exclusive. This is Scar from the, Was it like World War Hulk?
Yeah, the follow-on from World War Hulk.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So he looks cool. He's got a big dagger and a giant sword and stuff. And just the alternate heads again, they've got one with sort of straight long hair and the other one like sweeping motion sort of thing. I really, really like that.
There's a shot of him holding up his sword and like his whole shoulder joint has kind of like flipped around and it looks like really odd. Doesn't it? That shot there on the right, like his shoulders now shoulders inverted.
Dropped,
yes. it's dropped. It's not the normal way. Is it the normal way to articulate shoulders? Do you reckon that's a photography error? Or
I wonder if they just said, oh, just put his arm straight up and then the photographer. Often the people that take these photos aren't toy people. They know what looks good, but they've just gone, oh, well, just rotate the whole shoulder joint. You know what I mean?
I think you can kind of see that in that middle picture there too, where it's sort of twisted around a bit. Sort of, and it's sort of out of the sculpt there. It looks a bit outside of sorts, the way they've got it posed there as well.
It does seem to have some sort of little butterfly joints going in the shoulders.
They're nicely hidden, aren't they? Mm. Yeah.
So he's pretty cool. Superior Spider-Man. This is one that they have done some figures of before, but not usually with the arms. There is a Superior Spider-Man from not long ago. For those that don't know, this is I don't know what year it is, but essentially what you're looking at is Doc Ock trapped inside the body of Spider-Man. Did like a body snatcher style thing.
Yep. Great story. Read it if you can.
Yeah. So he comes with a four sort of mandibles and I think two heads looking at that. You got one that the eyes almost seem to be like mirror finish or maybe that's just the way they're painted.
I think it's almost got the reflection painted onto the white eye. So, but it does look very, very reflective.
Mm. They are very good at doing their Spider-Man figures though. Like lots of articulation. They've got plenty of them out there to nail it as well. So,
had a few goes at Spider-Man, haven't they?
some of the paintwork on the mask, like just the intricate web paint, looks really nice on the prototype.
Yep.
We'll be interested to see if they can pull that off in production. I think they can, but it's very, very intricate.
Mm.
So that was, I bought the Iron Spider and I was like, oh my God, this is painted so well that I just couldn't, like, I had to buy it. It's for my lad, but it was one of those things I'm like, it's so painted so well that I want to pick it up.
Yep. It's impressive what they can do. Mm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and he's got some alternate hands. He's got the usual Spider-Man sort of, you know, web shooting ones, couple of fists, and then a couple of clawed hands, almost like he's not even web, not like wall crawling ones, like he's, I don't know, like he's trying to scratch your eyes out or something, but he's a little bit different, something they don't do on many figures or many hero figures anyway. But this guy, this is where it's at.
This
brings back the Toy Biz days, like when they packed in those motorcycles.
It's the Toy Biz bike. And yet, so he's obviously with that, he's Ghost Rider in the Danny Ketch sort of look, comes with a bike. The accessories you can see with the flame accessories on the wheel allow it to stand sort of on two wheels or up on one wheel. Like, I think that's a really clever design. Deluxe figure, so you're probably about $50 USD because you're getting a full-size bike and a figure. But the frontage of that bike, it's all dinged up and stuff. It's not like a really crisp, clean bike. Mm-hmm. The flame effects look really good. And, you know, Ghost Rider himself, you can see in this picture here, it's not just the flaming hair. He's actually got, like, where his neck muscles would be. He's actually, you know, that sort of red translucent-y thing. So his whole neck is on fire, which is very, you know, sort of accurate to the source material. It's a little touch, but it's really, really nicely done.
Do you reckon he gets good grip on those tires?
Absolutely not. That's the point. You go sliding around and you leave fire trails behind
that
you.
That looks cool, right? Yeah. Who needs grip when you got fire tires?
Yeah.
He's definitely burning rubber.
Is this better than the HasLab Ghost Rider?
The one that never got made?
The one that never got made.
Better because this one will be released.
This one will be released. But, you know, I think with that there, a lot of people are asking for that one there to be thrown in as well. Like, I mean, if this was here in that one, I think...
You're right.
Yep. It would have sold like hotcakes.
Yeah, I reckon you're right.
Absolutely.
How good does it look? Yep.
For me, that's a figure that's going to end up in my collection.
Yep.
For that new Fantastic Four small run they did, that is the perfect Ghost Rider from the comic books. Loving it.
All right, some more news now, and I think this made sense with the imminent release of the HasLab Giant Man. This is a Marvel Legends Giant Man and Wasp 2-pack. So, yeah, Hasbro dropped that the Giant Man HasLab is progressing, and we had some pictures of him. I think he was sort of like riding like a little child on the Hasbro guy's shoulders. But this has a Hank Pym and a Janet Van Dyke, aka the Wasp, and they'll be coming packaged together. Now, Hank has his like cloth goods lab coat.
Yeah, that's cool.
They've both got alternate heads. The Janet Van Dyke has a helmeted head, very kind of like almost 50s, yeah, 50s retro sci-fi look, which is pretty cool. And then just like a regular with the kind of like hair.
The perm.
Yeah, the perm at the end, which is cool. And I love all of Hank's like little gadgets as well. He's got like some little gadgets, and he's got some test tubes and flasks and various things as well. So
is that a gun or a ship?
That is a Quinjet.
Mini Quinjet.
That's interesting.
Wow.
I was like, it's the wrong way up to be showcasing an injection type.
Yeah.
Thing. It could be a HasLab Soundwave or Shockwave.
Yeah, inner space style.
And as they like to do on these things, they just had a shot at the end, and normally they do teasers, but as the internet has wont on to do, if you look closely on that image and you zoom in, and there's an empty box sort of just in the corner, and the text on it reads Hulkbuster. So it feels like for this, as part of the anniversary thing, they're going to do another Hulkbuster figure. I'm hoping it leans more towards that Toy Biz-esque, you know, with the really rounded dome head, or was it? Yeah, a bit more pointy. Anyway, that style that we got really early Marvel Legends. Right. I think the MCU one's been done to death. They've done about four repaints of that. But give us a comic accurate Hulkbuster. I think that'll go well.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. I don't think they'd do anything by accident here, do they?
No.
I reckon position.
Everyone's going, oh, they stuffed up. I'm like, did they though?
Did they? Yeah. No, it's a little tease.
All right, Benno. More from the Cowboys of Mumisa. So last 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Sheriff Terrible, and that was on the cover of a Toy Collector magazine. Well, now Nasil have actually come out with a proper press release, and they have not one but three figures out for your collection. So starting April 23, you better saddle up and head over to the Nasil store where you can get the other three, all three of the Cowboys of Mumisa. So here we have Sheriff Terrible, and we should see a bit of a, all his weapons and gadgets and things. He comes with a big pint of beer, which I think is so cool. An alternate head, the hat is removable. A massive, like, rifle, a couple of whips, I believe. Alternate hands, some, what do you call them? Clasps and things,
handcuffs.
And handcuffs, that's the word, gosh. And some guns with, and you can have the smoking effect or not, which I think is really cool. Definitely a notch in the right direction. And I think, you know, I don't have any information about this, but they've got one of those big Gatling guns on the on the carriage wheels. And I don't know if this is one of these, they're taking a bit of a leaf out of Super 7's book. If you order all three, you get the Gatling gun or not. I don't know if it's a separate feature. I feel it's a bit of a, you know, pack in.
Could be a building item, maybe.
Could be. Put it together. So I thought that was pretty cool. And so old school. Like, you just don't see those sort of guns on wheels anymore. Like, the Gatling, when it's, I think, like Gatling gun, cannon, I think Terminator 2, where Arnie just picks it up and uses it, but this is so big it needs its own, carriage. So very cool. If we switch over to the next slide, we can see Marshall Moo Montana. And obviously this is the good guy, the good sheriff or whatever you want to call it. And he comes with almost an elephant gun style rifle. Mm. It's absolutely bonkers. Comes with a pint of beer. It seems a bit of a theme for the Mumisa town. A removable hat, lots of alternate hands, a couple of pistols, but not. They don't just shoot regular bullets. No. They shoot stars.
Sheriff stars.
Yeah. So move over, Ninja Turtles. You've got the Mumisa town shooting ninja stars at the bad guys.
Harmonica as well. He comes with a little harmonica.
Yeah. And rounding out the trio, we have Calamity Kate. And I don't think this girl got a release back in the Hasbro vintage line. I prove me wrong, but I didn't see any females in the original line.
Yep.
So this is a first for her. She comes with a cutlass blade, a sword type thing, a really, really cool lasso that, you know, alternate with the it wound up and with it, you know, outstretched. It's sort of like a trumpet gun.
Yeah.
Like, really weird.
It's like a bugle. Thing. A bugle, but if it was a rifle.
I think that's it.
She comes with a pint of sarsaparilla, I dare say, a gun belt, and she's got some weird, like, harpoon pistol
it's like
weapons.
A prototype Batman gun, right? Yeah. Like, grappling gun.
Yeah. So she's looking really cool, and I think, you know, welcome Calamity Kate to the crew. I'm just, you know, interested to see how deep this line goes. Mm. So pretty cool offering, you know, first up. Mm. Anyone in on these? I noticed you've got the Biker Mice from Mars in your collection.
Got the Biker Mice. They're very, very cool. I love the Biker Mice. I'm not a Cowboys of Mumisa fan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but they'd look so good with, like, Playmates Turtles, right?
They do. She's creeping me out the way she's looking at me with that cow face. Look, if I didn't have space issues, I probably would add this to my collection. But yeah, it's just those core properties. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
I think you could drop them in with Brave Star.
Oh, look, they'd fit. They're maybe even in between Silverhawks and Turtles and Brave Star.
This is something you probably are going to get into, Trent? Question mark.
No, I haven't been following the Machina ramen toy kind of mask line. Look, I think the Red Gullwing, amazing. I just wanted it to fit in a bit more with my existing mask, so it's just a little bit bigger. That's sort of my main issue with this line, but very, very cool.
I think it's dialed up to be more modern. That's probably why it doesn't fit as well. But yeah, here on screen we have a black and red Machina, so the Stealth Gullwing versus the Shattered Gullwing. And this one is purple with green, and it's even got a broken windscreen. Each of them come with a mask character. I don't know if his mask will come off or not, but he comes with the, you know, black and red with the car, and the purple and black with that car. And it's sort of, you know... Ramen Toys said, which one? Which one do you think of these
tough
are?
Call.
So let's go around the room. Which one, if you had to choose, which one? Money's not a problem. Ordering's not a problem. Which one would we all go for?
I love this Shattered Glass because to me it's such a wonderful nod to Transformers and Mask all at the same time. Like it doesn't say Shattered Glass, it says Shattered, but that purple and the green is just, it's wonderful. Mm. And it's, you talk about popping on a shelf. That's the color scheme for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to lock in Shattered Gullwing as well. Although, but it's a tough call because that black and red is striking as well. Yeah.
I'm down for a bit of the purple and green Joker version of the Gullwing, 100%.
Mm.
Yeah, I would have to go the Shattered one as well. I think it's it sort of counters the other one really well compared to the black and the red.
So they're only doing one of these? Like it's either or?
No. I think these are coming up events. Okay. Yeah, yep. I think. I'm not sure. This is just a teaser. You know what they do.
Yeah.
And for me, I love black and red. Black and red is some of the coolest color schemes. But if I had to choose, I'd have to go with the Shattered Gullwing, the purple and green one. That just looks so phenomenally cool. And I just love that they're doing this. This gives me a whole new view of this is very, it looks almost not Gundam, what's it called, Evon Genesis. They're villains in that, they're very that color, so I just think it's so cool.
And I think as soon as you walk into a room, that green is just gonna
pop.
Your eyes
straight to 100%.
Yeah, very striking. All right, we had a bit of love on the Discord for the Mondo Daria and Jane set limited edition, which is a very, very cool set. Dario, I mean, this is probably getting on now, like 20, 25
at
years
least,
old. So it comes with an array of swappable heads, arms, accessories to suit your darkest mood. Limited to only 1,000. And you can pull off, I think there's like a classic Beavis and Butthead face that you can put for Dario as well. And then there's, I think there's an episode where Jane's hair die has issues. So you can recreate that with the little kind of like thing around her neck and her freaking out with the orange hair color mishap that you've got there. But there's some really cool accessories, like there's like a Polaroid camera and a stereo, but there's all these alternate arms. And one of the arms is like interlocking. So you can like interlock their arms. So they're kind of like arm in arm as they're walking down. Very, very cool set. Very nicely done. I mean, they look like they've stepped right off the cartoon.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't have said it better. These look phenomenal, and I just mad props to the designers for getting such a 2D model. It looks so damn good in 3D form. These are just absolutely fantastic. Anyone that's a fan of Dari and Jane, this is your one and only chance to get screen accurate figures, because I don't think we'll ever see them this accurate ever again.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Emily Lynn was on the very, very keen to get this set. I don't know if she jumped on it in the end, but it is, 8-inch. $135 US, that's not bad for
the pair.
For the pair and all the stuff you get there. It's got a picture of them in the guy's hands, which is, it's a good size. It's not like the sort of 1/6 scale stuff that they're doing in X-Men, but it's just a nice action figure size.
And how many action figures come with an alternate hand that's just, you know, flipping the bird?
Like, yeah, that's right.
Not enough.
Yeah, I know. Yep. All right, who wants to go? Oh, well, I guess we got more news from Mondo. Look, it makes sense. They've got the sculpt for the Trapjaw, and now they're doing the mini comic green and silver color scheme, with the kind of very fuzzy red burgundy boots and loincloth. I think he looks pretty much like a redo, but just with the green skin. All those accessories look pretty similar. But I guess if you missed out on Trapjaw, there's another very good way to get a cool-looking Trapjaw into your collection. Limited, again, only 1,000 pieces, $235, and he's releasing in June 2024. And is it a Big Bad Toy Store exclusive? Yeah. Okay.
So how big was the original run of Trapjaw? You said only 1,000. Like,
no, it was one of those ones
timed
where
exclusive.
Yeah,
timed
so exclusive. So you order, and then when it's gone, it's gone.
Right.
When the window closes, that's it's it. Done. You've lost. But this has a number at the end. So
it's very nice photography there. Of, I think that's shot there is from the mini comic, isn't it?
Yeah,
from the
that's
cover.
That's why I put it on.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very nicely done. Turtle Power.
Oh God!
Who is this?
No, I didn't put this.
Rage Toys.
So good. This is Rage Toys doing their, what they're calling Samurai Force, which is their turtles that aren't turtles. Sort of not really, you know, sort of skirting the licensing on this. They did their really cool, samurai-esque Leonardo, and
the Leatherhead was
the
amazing.
Leatherhead.
In this.
Yeah, so good. So this is their what are they calling this guy? Crossbow Summer. Master.
It's summer, but then they've got,
because they're all different.
Crossbow. Yeah, summer, seasons. You've got summer, winter, and spring, and then the last one will be Raphael. So.
Right. So, so looking at the accessories, this is their take on Michelangelo. There's even a head that might get them into sort of IP trouble that looks very, very orange bandana, big cheesy grin. But a lot of skateboards included with this guy. We get the spinning nunchucks. There's a spray can, I think, and, complete with a spray effect. A little Walkman, I think, what that is. Very, very cool. Lots and lots of accessories with this guy. Also, they're two different kits.
Yeah, so you buy the first one, which is very non, turtle-esque. Generic, it's just a regular sort of samurai turtle with a weird sort of bun tip hair. And things that comes with all the ninja accessories and things, but to really make him look like Michelangelo, you need to buy the custom kit.
Clever.
And that is a fantastic name to call something when, if you're up against licensing issues. No, it's a custom kit. Don't worry about it, man. No, we didn't make it. It's custom. So that's an extra $20 or something on top of the $42. So you have to do that. And then they've got, if you buy them together, you get a $5 discount. So, if you're keen on this, you've got to buy the both. And they've packed more items than you'll ever be able to accessorize them with. So if you go to the next shot, you'll see all the difference.
Oh, my God.
So that one photos on the left are Michelangelo, as you would with the custom set. And then photos on the right are what you get standard. So it's pretty cool. As you can see in the top left, we've got Donnie, Leo, and now Michelangelo. And Raphael is coming soon, obviously.
Just point out that they have done the tail. It's always the decision to add a tail or
the
not.
The turtle tail.
So they've gone with the tail. It does look a bit odd. I always find tails on the turtles can be a bit strange. It almost looks like it's retractable.
Articulated. Oh, wow.
There you go. Maybe it is.
At the threat of receiving verbal abuse here from the three of you around the table, does that look better than a hell of a lot of the Ninja Turtles have been released in terms of its appearance and its sculpting and just general appearance?
It goes on the sort detail of Mezco, what Mezco have just released. Yeah. Like it's more that realistic, believable, real-world look.
Yes.
And I think up until Mezco released their Four Turtle pack, we hadn't seen this real-world look before.
Hyper-detailed.
Yeah, this is dancing on the third party, though, you know, so how deep they're going to go, we're not sure, you know.
Well, it's funny because I look at that and I see the skin detail, which, as we know, caused quite a bit of controversy the other day with the Playmates' attempt at that, whereas this one, because I think it's a lot busier design, there's a lot more going on, your eyes aren't drawn to the bits of skin that are exposed. And I think it works. It's a busier design, so having, you know, more scaly skin, for lack of a better term, it kind of works.
And the shading helps as well.
Yeah, I think that blending sort of takes away from it, especially you can see in the, you know, the thighs there and stuff like that. It sort of looks a bit more turtle like. It sort of blends out as well.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What do you reckon? Best set, best Prince Adam. There's not many Prince Adam Cringer 2 packs, to be honest.
Yeah.
But this is a standout. So, as we know, Masters of the Universe Origins is sort of not finishing up, but I'd say it's sort of like winding down. And their main kind of retail substitute now is the Cartoon Collection. So, it's sort of a continuation of Origins, but with designs based on the Filmation cartoon series. And we had pictures previously of Prince Adam and Cringer. The first fully articulated Cringer we've got, we did get him in Classics, but he was just basically a plug
figure.
Now we get a articulated action figure with alternate head, with the kind of shocked face look, which is very cool. And we get the smiling, closed eyes, happy kind of Prince Adam look as well. I think this is an absolutely wonderful set. Comes in that window box with the beautiful, beautiful artwork that we're seeing. There is a picture of Prince Adam relaxing on a rock with Cringer and a waterfall in the background. Looks absolutely stunning. And anyone see the little hidden gem on the artwork there?
Yeah, with Skeletor and everything coming through the bushes.
There's the imp. Yep,
got imp is
imp hiding down the bottom.
Oh, very well done. Yeah, sneaking up.
Nice. And the artwork on the back of the box is that pre-transformation Adam holding the sword aloft with Cringer kind of looking nervously on in the background. So what do you think?
How do you rate this? I just think after 40 years, we finally get a decent Cringer. Yeah. It's taken 40 years to get an A-list character, a character that was in just about every single episode, and we finally get one that's decent. You know, I just mad respect. It's a long time overdue. And I just think this is absolutely phenomenally done. Finally, can't praise it enough.
Yeah, I'm cherry picking Origins, and this is definitely one that I'm in for. I have a Prince Adam, but I don't think, I don't have that. I need the Cringer essentially.
Yeah, look, to be, I think this is a very, very nice version of Prince Adam because it's got that beautiful face, that really iconic.
Yep. Looks accurate.
Yeah, really, really cool. I like this line.
Does that set us up for a Skeletor Panthor as well?
We've never really seen Panthor as a pup or a cub, whatever you want to call it. So
not powered up.
He's not as iconic as Cringer.
Because I would love to see that artwork redone.
Yeah,
exact same.
Yep.
Like Skeletor and Panthor with him just laying back under the waterfall.
Evil Lynn lying in front.
Feeding him grapes.
Maybe Hawkeye can be popping up out the front there.
That's right. Doing his magic.
Good call.
One thing I was really surprised because I was listening to Brian Flynn. When Brian Flynn got the rights when they were doing their short run of kind of classics figures, he made a big deal about the fact he was able to negotiate with William Stout for the William Stout collection, and we got figures beyond the original three original figures from the movie, being Gwildor, Sarod, and Blade. We got Karg, and it took a little while to get the movie accurate version of Karg. We had to sort of bypass through the comics colors, but we got He-Man from that movie, we got Skeletor, and we got God Skeletor, and I thought that was kind of it. But Mattel has weaved their magic, and they've given us not only the He-Man and Skeletor from the Masterverse line, but also an Evil Lyn, which has been released, and they're following on from that with packaged shots of movie Beastman. Now, can I tell you, the artwork on these boxes, they've diverged away. I think when we got the Skeletor and the He-Man, they were just in that regular Masterverse packaging.
Yes, they were.
But from Evil Lyn onwards, we're getting beautiful illustrated representations of the character from the movie. There's other characters in the background. Here you can see the troopers that are there. And I think this is just so cool to be getting like a movie Beastman. What else do you want to see from this movie? Is there, if you can pick another two figures, what do you want to get?
Definitely a Dark Trooper.
Yeah.
Hands down, have to have that. And that, I'm almost done. I don't need Ludwig or whatever his name is.
We need a Lubbock.
I could pass on a Ludwig. What about like a Courtney Cox? Would you want that?
Teela would be better. Teela would be better.
Yeah.
But for the Beastman, let's go back to Beastman. Are we missing real fur? Don't we need a Grizzlaw type Beastman to?
You're right. It's a big miss.
Instead of sculpting, that's probably my.
I'm okay with the sculpting.
Yeah.
To me, because it's the movie look, and I don't think you're gonna get. I don't know. Maybe they can do that really nicely these days with some faux fur that would kind of still look in keeping.
Yeah. For me, I think I'd prefer real fur. I think that's that would have been his action feature.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I want it. I need it.
Yeah. All right. I'll I can hear Osti in my ears as we bring up the pictures from the Transformers Masterpiece number 60, Super Ginrai.
Power Master.
Power Master, yeah.
Morgan, tell us everything you know about this guy. You in on this? Or,
well, I've got a couple. So I've got I've got the Fans Hobby Power Baser, and I also have so far the trailer for the KFC one as well.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it, I loved it, but there's one thing that puts me off, and that is just the arms on that trailer.
Yeah, like, what is with that? The smokestacks type.
I have no idea. Like, to me, that, you know, everything else, like. To me, like, if they were going to sacrifice anything, it should have been the base mode. Because, you know, if it's going to be on any shelf, it's either going to be on bot mode or vehicle mode, you would think. But, yeah, I think it's with that combined mode, it just looks really so good.
Yep.
Now, what's the deal with the... it's not this version, is it? The chest piece being on both...
No, it's the third version.
The third picture.
Let's just go back to that second picture. That second picture, the dynamic articulation you can get. The fact he can hold his gun with two hands in front of his chest, and he's so bulky, that is engineering genius. Yep. Like, that is mad respect. We've got him sort of just standing in bot mode, very static looking, and he is extremely imposing with all his bits and pieces, all his guns on his shoulders and stuff. I think it's a really cool looking bot, statically standing even.
So what we're seeing there is the combined mode with the trailer incorporated into the robot. Yeah,
so from what I understand, this, like, I've seen some pictures recently, and it's actually going to be a part of the MPG line, whereas the actual smaller bot is going to be MP60. So they're going to split them. Like, that's going to be the last of the MP line, from what I understand. And then, like, the Super Ginrai altogether is going to be MPG09, I believe, from what I've seen. But, yeah, it's very hard to resist when you see the pictures like this as well. Yeah.
So we're saying this is the end of Masterpiece.
From what I understand, it's the end of Masterpiece as we know it.
Yes.
And then it's going to be a transition over into MPG, which obviously they've done with the train bots already.
Yes.
What does MPG for, you know, outsider like me that doesn't understand this terminology?
So obviously the only ones that they've done so far is the train bots, is that exclusive? Yes,
right.
And I think what they were initially rolling it out was it was MP Gestalt, obviously for the Japanese combiner sort of setup. Yeah. So I'm not sure whether that's obviously a flow on and from that, and there's going to be more combiner type stuff as well, you know, like a different scale. But it would be interesting to see this one here side by side with that MP Raiden that they've done to just sort of get a gauge of how
much big it's going to be. Because, yeah, of course.
You know, that Raiden wasn't super big, like compared to some of the third party and other stuff that had been released. It's probably, I think it was probably on par with that Combiner Wars Devastator that was out previously.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, you know, some people in the MP scale, myself, would prefer it to be a lot bigger than that.
Yeah, it's really hard putting my company hat on. You got to think like, where does the line come that you're charging too much for the people to even afford it? You know, so the best transition is to put the brakes on, call it stop, create a new smaller scale. Like they've done, you know, they rejigged the scale from MP1 and MP3, I think it was with Megatron or 5 or whatever it was.
Yep.
And then they redid the scale for, you know, MP30 or whatever. I'm getting my numbers all mixed up here. But, changed it a few times to get the cars to scale in with the Optimus and have the bigger, you know, Grimlock bigger and things like that. And it makes sense to me if they just, okay, this is going to be our combiner. You know, this is going to be the
Because you can't standard. Do combiner in MP scale, can you? Like they start to get you can do it, but I mean, like those Optimus Primes were like, you know, $900 at the end of the day. So you know, the cost of a combiner.
Yeah. Well, I think even that train, but you know, once you put it all together, it was about, you know, $1,200 or something. Yeah, like, and that's six of them. Like, you look at a Devastator, it would probably be six again. Like. They start to get pretty pricey once you get up to those big sets.
Yeah.
And when we started collecting, they were like, you know, the cars were $70. The Optimus Prime was $100, you know, and now you're $400-$500, you know. Mm. It's just out of control.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think once they got to them bigger price points with like your MP36, which is sort of one of the ones that was more up in price, then they sort of slowly edged up. And then I think that MP44 Prime really set the bar. And then, you know, that was expensive and they're like, it's the accessories. And then, you know, along came the updated jets and all that kind of stuff as well. And they sort of haven't looked back. And I wonder if that really is something that sort of damaged it down the line as well. And is why we're at the sort of crossroads that we are right now.
Yep.
Well, it was, sorry, Frank, I was just saying, it was hard to swallow because those new cartoon accurate jets were sensational. But when I had a collection of like eight jets, and I'm like, I've invested in this jet. Mm. What am I going to do now? Like rebuy another eight cartoon versions just because you've improved it? It just felt at the higher price as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think as well, like rough. That was also like there was a 2.5, there was a 1.5, and this was like essentially another version again.
Yeah,
they'd sort of tweaked the original design as well, so people sort of got rid of that initial run and got those ones, and now they're being asked to do it again. It doesn't help.
Well, did we not call this or something where we said, like, you know, give us a big controversial call, and I forget who it was, but one of us said the MP line is going to go away or be rebooted or whatever, because you could see exactly, you know, all that writing on the wall and the prices going up and up, and I was like, it's only going to last so long, like... Yeah,
I think HasLab helped that as well. Like helped that along.
Fair,
like, you know, you see some of the stuff that they put in HasLab, they could quite easily put something like this on a HasLab, and this probably would have found it on a HasLab. I would have thought. Like,
oh, of course.
You know, they got that RID Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, that got across the line as well. Yeah,
and you would think that, you know, some of the guys, especially you have the variations. You could have had tiers to unlock God Bomber or you know, Japanese variant options or comic variation options as a tiered on HasLab, and it probably would have done all right.
Yeah, definitely.
So here we have the original bots of Optimus Prime, and he's even more articulated than the larger combined version. He's pretty cool. And what I believe is there's two different versions. So this is a very comic, sort of cartoon accurate or something like that. Very high fire truck engine red version. And the other one, the combined one, if you buy the pair together, is sort of a darker red. And they're very subtle, like the smokestacks and things are longer in one version than the other. And that also translates to his Power Master character. One is very toy accurate, and one is very cartoon accurate. With who was that? Danny on Spike or someone?
That was Jinrai. So that's where the actual his character was Jinrai in the Japanese Master Force series. So that's where it actually came from. And then obviously with the addition of the God Bomber, God Jinrai, and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah. Yep. So these are all, you know, leaked, like digital renditions and things like that. So more information to come. But, you know, it's, a bit sad if the MP line is finishing up. But I think it needs to.
From what I understand, like the way that they are trying it, like from what I've seen online, that is obviously there's going to be an American version and a US version, like some of the old previous releases have done. Like, so it may obviously have something to do with the differences in the Power Masters and that as well.
We shall see what the future holds for Transformers. Well, but forget the future. Let's go back to the past. Transformers Till All Are One, 40th anniversary of the animated movie that we all know.
Not the movie. It's the first four episodes. Yeah. Of the cartoon.
That changes everything for me.
I thought it was the movie.
I would have loved it.
Wow, so it's just the first four episodes of the show.
It's a different proposition, isn't it? Yeah. But there are exclusive behind-the-scenes table reads, and you get a split screen with the pilot episode. So you'll be watching the pilot, and you'll see them doing reads.
I think
a few exclusive-y type things, maybe. A bit of extra...
I think so. Extra I can only imagine stuff.
Yeah, I think you're going to have some interviews with the cast and stuff like that as well.
Wow.
Wheeljack's been caught in a very uncompromising kind of half-transforming shot. There, he just he'd be like, oh, don't take a photo of me like this. You know, his head's kind of tucked away.
And the worst part is he seems to be the only one that's been caught like that.
Yeah. Everyone's in a really cool pose and he's just like, nah.
We'll show all those Wheeljack fans. We'll put them in their place.
So is anyone going to follow through? Because I know Adelaide has some screenings. It's only a few dates. It's not like you've got, you know, a month to decide, I might go during this period. It's like over the course of a week or something, you have a window. So is anyone going to part with their cold hard cash and jump in? Morgan, you seem to be the biggest Transformers fan in the room. Is this something that excites you or...
Yeah, well, it's definitely something that obviously, as a G1 fan, we're always looking for content, for some kind of content from G1. So I think, I'll be in to sort of make the trip down to Adelaide and maybe have a watch of it, I reckon.
Fantastic.
Cool.
You know, 2 hours or so, probably, by the time you put it all together, and depending on sort of what they roll out, it'd be worth a watch, even though I've seen them like a bazillion times continue to catch them on YouTube and whatever where they are. I think it'll be, just something to sort of have a look at and, something for the G1 fans of the 40 years.
Mm. Nice.
Yep.
Makes us feel old at 40 years, but...
Tell me about it just a couple of weeks ago.
All right. We've got some Super 7 San Diego Comic-Con reveals. It's beginning already. It's already into the reveals.
It feels
very early. I was surprised, Ben, when you put this out there that there's drops from San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. I'll run through these quickly because they're quite interesting. We're getting a bit of a sprinkling from each of their kind of core lines. From Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, we're getting Chef Michelangelo, and he is a redo of the original Michelangelo figure with looks like a cloth goods pizza chef, pizza time. Comes with some pizza, nunchucks, pizza box, and looks like he's packaged in his very own special pizza box packaging. G.I. Joe Jungle Trap Zartan, which looks like a redo of Zartan, but with a cloak this time. D&D, we're getting the Dungeons and Dragons Invisible Sheila the Thief. So she's very, very invisible.
Translucent.
Just an empty box.
It pretty much is. Based on the picture, it just looks like a nothing, a nothing figure. And then rounding out the exclusives is a Thundercats ghost Groon. I didn't know he...
Did he die?
Yeah, maybe he died and he's in ghost form. Again, a bit like the translucent Sheila, but with a lot more colour to it. So you can tell all of the joints are essentially done in the colour of Groon, but just in that translucent look. To me, just before I go around the room and see what the interest is, this is, in my opinion, the perfect set of four San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. And how I measure that is I go, I'm fine to not get them. And to me, that's what generally what a San Diego Comic-Con figure should be. It shouldn't be, you know...
That's going to break my collection if I don't hunt it down on the aftermarket.
Laser power Skeletor from Origins. You go, I need that to get my collection. This is what I think all Comic-Con exclusives should be like. But having said that, maybe they're not super exciting for the fans. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think if you're like hardcore into any one of these franchises, then you go, the Michelangelo does it for me mainly on the packaging.
Yeah.
To sit that up the back of your display, anyone who knows their Turtles is going to look at that and go, oh, nice, you got the San Diego one. Like, if it's not there, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, it's got the nice little chef's pizza hat as well on the kind of OG style head, and he comes with the alt head of the tongue sticking out. Mm-hmm. So he's a cool figure, but he's not going to break your collection.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. No one else?
No.
All right, moving on.
All right, Star Wars Black Series. I put this in there. There's a couple of exclusives coming from Target in the Black Series, and very exciting to get some pit droids into the collection. So there is a four-pack that comes with R5-D4. You also get a little mini BD-72 and two pit droids. I don't know if the pit droids fold up into their helmet, but they look like they're pretty well articulated.
All you need to do is just take off the helmet, the head.
The hat.
That could be their fold-up mode.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like the old G1s. What do I do with all this fodder and, fists and stuff like that, Yeah.
Yep.
He's pretty cool. And then we also get a Mandalorian privateer, which is another kind of army builder looking Mandalorian in a kind of very vibrant blue. Comes with a jetpack and a pistol. These are going to be Target exclusives. Don't have a pre-order date just yet, but $24.99 for the Mandalorian privateer and $49.99 for the droid 3-pack, which I think is really, really expensive.
Yeah.
$49.99 USD for three small droids. That is a highway robbery. But
With the droids, are they tools or are they lightsabers?
Now, so the R5 comes with those leg rockets.
Yeah.
So he comes with two blue kind of leg rockets. I think the pit droids come with little tools.
Right. That's what I was wondering.
Because they kind of repair the pod races and stuff.
Yeah, fair enough. Cool. Mm.
And I put this one in there mainly because Fallout, the show, Amazon Prime exclusive television show, has been getting a lot of love. And Dark Horse is doing three figures. You can get a Lucy, and it looks like a kind of a blood-splattered version of Lucy. I'm not sure if they're doing another one. But again, Lucy's having a bad photo day with her eyes kind of looking off in opposite directions as that photo's been taken. You get the Ghoul, played by Wanton Gaggins?
Wanton
Gaggins?
Walton
Gaggins. everyone gets his name wrong. People will see him in the street and go, hey, you're that guy. You're the guy, aren't you?
Yeah,
the guy from all the shows.
The
guy. So Walton Gaggins, giggity. The Maximus, which is kind of like the big armor kind of mech suit, which look pretty cool. So
are they statues?
No, that's a good question. They do actually look like statues, don't they?
No articulation.
Yeah, I can't see
any. I can't see any joints, especially on Lucy. You'd be able to see with her, skin.
Yeah.
I just assumed, because I did this fairly quickly, but I assumed they were figures based on the fact Dark Horse. Now that I say that, Dark Horse traditionally do statues.
Yeah.
I got a lot of the Dark Horse Lord of the Rings sort of statues, and they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
They're pretty affordable. Like the Lord of the Ring, not Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. Mm. Dark Horse did a whole heap of these sort of statues, and they were super, super affordable. They came in at about $30 to $40 Australian,
yeah,
and super detailed because of obviously not the articulation. But yeah, $50 is quite a bit for a non-articulated statue. But yeah, I imagine we're going to see a little bit more merchandising from Fallout now with the popularity,
yep,
of the show. Speaking of which, let's get into our next segment.
Did you mute it?
No, I don't have it on the thing.
Stand by. Technical difficulties.
Reading, watching, playing.
Yep, that'll do. I was going to edit it in, but bugger that. That was heaps better.
All right. Just very quickly, probably around the room on reading, watching, playing, there has been some amazing stuff. I'll start off very quickly and just shout out the brilliance of the Disney Plus Shogun series, which I am now 9 episodes into. We're waiting on the drop of the 10th and final episode. But that has been fantastic. It's got Scorpion from Mortal Kombat in it. He is doing a sensational job. And really, really interesting story. Really interesting insight into sort of Japanese culture in the kind of early 1600s.
Scotty looks confused. It's not actual Scorpion, it's the actor who played Scorpion.
Okay, cool. I'm thinking there was a crossover I'm exactly not aware of.
Now that would be a cool show. The other thing, so yeah, if you haven't seen it and you do have Disney Plus, well worth checking out. I found the first episode not hard to get into, but I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. But after the second episode, I was absolutely hooked. So definitely give it, you know, because there's a lot. It's sort of a bit like it's a historical epic. So there's a lot of different characters. There's a lot of politics going on in the background, but it is an absolutely brilliant watch. And then the other thing that's been happening in Australia is we have the new season of Lego Masters. Mm-hmm. It is Lego Masters Australia versus the world. We are 3 episodes in. They already have had the first elimination, but it is a really tough ask for the Australian teams.
Yeah.
Because they're all brand new, 4 brand new Australian teams up against competing international teams that have done it before, yeah, that have been on Lego Masters previously. And you can see that difference, right?
But also you can, like, I've only seen 1 episode because I just was busy. You can see the team dynamics. They're not gelling. Like, then, you know, there's the girl crew that barely know each other. Mm. You know, there's the mum and son crew. And things like, it's just some teams stand out that they haven't built together. They don't know each other.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the, like the German crew, they can't do anything wrong. No. Like, so.
Yeah. Well, and this is the trick, because that German team won Lego Masters. So, yeah, that's what you're up against.
They know exactly
a team
what it takes.
That can build, right? Yeah.
Well, it was a bit when they were doing the intros, and it was the Australian girl team, and she's like, oh, I work at Legoland in Sydney. And I was like, well, that's a bit of an unfair advantage. And then the internationals come out and say, yeah, we won it in Germany, yep, and, you know, we made it to the finale in the US and stuff. You're like, Oh, this is a lot more. I think it swung the other way. I think this stands a good chance of being an all-international, you know, grand final.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Mm.
All right, Scotty, what have you been checking out?
Well, I think we all gathered together, sans Frank, to enjoy some radical rewindage. And it was my favorite film, the live-action 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film, boys. What an event put on by Mr. Davey Damage and Brett Owen and their respective partners and families. They are very big in helping in the background and getting it all set up. It's not just a 2-man team putting it all together. Mm. What a stellar outing. Oh, what a wonderful night.
A 19 out of 19. Like, what they learnt for Batman 89, they excelled at with Ninja Turtles. They had little, you know, instead of just calling out ticket stubs, they had proper printed out ticket stubs you could choose from. Casey Jones, all the Turtles, Shredder, Splinter, and they were like proper collectible items, you know, that we got. That was fantastic. Davey pressure molded a yo-yo. So it got the mold of like Leonardo and then turned it into a food safe mold. And then put it on, and then made them into chocolates and put them on Choc Tops. So that was one of the offerings at the at the venue.
Yeah.
You could get a So did I, even though he told me he was making them. I totally lined up for the bar and didn't do anything else. So that was fantastic. We went upstairs. He had all the merchandise and standees and toys and things. Yep. That was like a little museum in its own. Absolutely fantastic. It felt 3 times busier than at Batman 89. Like when we got there at 7 o'clock, over half the seating had already been taken.
Wow. It sold out pretty quickly.
It sold out the day before it went live, and I think Terminator's going to sell out days before.
Yeah.
It's just going to keep building momentum.
Well, I mean, part of the love of this Radical Rewind is the trailers. And there, you know, there's the joke trailer, and there's the, you know, the what have you trailer to get you in the mood. But then the final trailer is the next movie, right? Yep. And when that Terminator came on, the cheer from the crowd was like palpable. Like it was really good, and it was like a brilliant trailer. I'd never seen really that good trailer before. Yep. Like it was so cool to see that in the cinema. That is going to be a banger.
Mm. 100%. Gave me chills.
Yeah,
So.
What did you think of the movie, Scotty? Do you like Ninja Turtles live action?
I was really hoping you would not ask me that question.
Does it have some redeeming moments for you? Like, is it like?
All right, truth be told, I fell asleep watching it. Like, we get to the point, obviously, where the Turtles have got their shit together. They've had their moment around the campfire with Master Splinter.
Yep.
And that was sort of the last thing I remember. And I'm like, oh, I've gone through all the garbage and I've missed the actual apex of the film, all the good stuff. Like, one day I will sit down and I will actually see the entirety of the film in one sitting. At this point, the 3 times I've seen it, it's enough to hold together the entire story. But, hey, we will get there.
If you can't make it through that one, don't watch the other two.
No, That is the pinnacle.
But in that environment, like it's captivating. It's contagious. At the start of the film, there's a soundtrack or a music track going that the crowd started clapping to. And it's just like, holy shit, there's 250 super invested, captivated individuals in this room here, and I'm the odd person out.
I have to say, I mean, like, I love that film, and I've got a lot of fond memories. I went to it the cinema. I brought my Casey Jones action figure along. Mm. When I first saw it, I dressed up as Casey Jones for this screening and got a really cool photo with Ollie, who was dressed up as Raphael in the trench coat.
Yeah.
Look, some of the fight sequences, they're martial arts experts, but they're in a massive turtle suit, and that is hard. Like it doesn't stand up in terms of some of the choreography than what you would expect today. But it has a certain charm to it.
The overall movie's so dark as
well.
It is
very dark,
dark, and that sort of hides, I think, some of the, you know, the costumes and things. That bit where, you know, on the big screen,
Donnie laughs,
you can see the guy's eyes. Yep. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know where all like the little, you know, hidden bits are. Like when they're leaving April's apartment for the first time, you watch Leonardo's sword. You get stuck on sort of like the framework, and you can tell it's a rubber sword because it bends all the way back.
Yeah.
And there's another one where you can see the, because to do the animatronics, they had to run big cables that were largely hidden for most of the film. But then, and just when they're doing the board game thing, and it's what Russian novel has an appalling, you know, it's War and Peace. And Leo bursts in. You could actually look closer. You can see the cable hanging down just at the right time. So, they do a pretty good job overall. And you can think that was 1990 puppetry. That was state of the art.
Tim Henson.
Especially for the time, it was so good. Like early and, you know, for a few of those little things popping up, like compared to some of the other ones.
Yes.
It really held up, sort of, like.
Dave had this big 60 Minutes special on how Ninja Turtles were destroying the world and things like, you know, really hurting kids and things like that. And, you know, it was a full-on documentary almost on how Turtle Mania was causing issues. It was rather interesting.
I can tell you, I wasn't allowed to watch the original cartoon.
Yeah.
snuck over to my friend's house and watched. I can remember, like, mum and dad made a big deal out of it, but I've never, like, I watched it and I was sort of like, yeah, I don't see the big deal.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well,
and I don't remember the episode or anything like that, but yeah, it was, I watched it. Oh, that's it. Yeah. Out of the way.
Did it destroy your life? No.
Well, it was Ninja Turtles, then quickly followed up by Power Rangers. Power Rangers were just as bad. They could have easily done that same 60-minute program on Power Rangers, just changing the franchise. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Morgan, what have you been watching, mate?
Probably one of the ones that's on there is probably about the only one I'd have been able to watch, and that is the new X-Men on Disney Plus, the X-Men 97. So, yeah, I've been really enjoying that. And obviously, you know, not the last episode, but there's been a few, you know, cameos in there to be able to pick up some as well. So
many cameos.
But, yeah, they seem to be really hitting their stride with it as well. Obviously, the last episode, you know, sort of went away from the action of the episode before. Mm. But obviously, they're building up to something, obviously. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where they go with it.
Mm, it was that episode 5 that sort of shocked people, and we're sort of dancing around the fact if anyone hasn't seen it as far as spoilers and stuff. And the one of the writers was sort of interviewed after, and the internet was on fire going, oh, my God, they just did this in episode 5. And the writer's like, oh, no, it really doesn't kick up till episode 7, 8, 9.
Wow.
Like, that's where it gets hectic. And everyone's like, I'm not ready for that.
No.
Like,
full of.
Yeah.
My favorite character, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well. Especially from the old cartoon. Like, he was the one.
When you watch the episode 6 intro, they've taken him out.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. He's not in the intro anymore.
No, that hurts.
Full of.
And it's not more, fellas. It's not
more. All right. For me, I've been watching Fallout. Absolutely loving it. Never played the game. Don't know anything about the franchise. Just I've seen that little character everywhere, you know, in
the little
advertising.
Bobblehead?
Yeah, the bobblehead character.
Vault guy.
Yeah, so I'm 7 episodes in. I've been cranking that just every night. It's absolutely phenomenal. But my other thing is I've been watching My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
Right? I'm 3 seasons in and just it is fantastic. It is as good, if not better, than Dragon Ball Z, and that's right. Big.
Whoa.
That's big for me to say something.
Shots fired.
Because every episode, everything they, every hurdle they get, every time they hurt a villain or come up against a villain or something, there's something else that happens that they, you know, challenge they need to go and highly recommend. It's all on Netflix. There's 5 seasons of it, and I'm only deep into season 3, so I'm just not sure where it can go from there. But
on my to watch list,
how these animes get so much hype.
Yeah,
this is one that absolutely lives up to all the hype of everything that I've ever seen. So it is phenomenal. It's so addictive, and it's like 20-minute episodes or something.
Nice.
They're really fantastic.
How many episodes in a season?
Oh God! Well, it's weird because I started watching season 2, and it was like, geez, I'm 33 episodes or something into season 2, and then it kept going. Season 3 just continued, it went to season 3 episode 34. You know, and so I'm up to season 3 episode 54 or something now. So that's between episode 2 and season 2 and season 3. So I'm lost where how they, you know, pivot, but I don't care. I'm just going to keep watching it until it ends. It is so good. Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Well, I've been sort of watching most of the stuff we've talked about already, but I've been doing a bit of reading and wanted to shout out to our Patreon book club. So anyone on the Toy Power Discord can be joined in our Patreon book club. Essentially, it's through the Marvel Unlimited app where we've selected a run of comic books and given ourselves sort of 2 weeks, you know, we're not sure if that's going to be enough time. We're happy to be a bit flexible with that. And to read this run, we've chosen 1602,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of like the Marvel Universe set in 1602. And as you know, it's England, the English versus the Spanish, and America's the New World and all this sorts of stuff. But you still have, you know, your familiar faces. There's, you know, Sir Nicholas Fury and you know, Doctor Strange is in there and all this sorts of stuff. And just how that whole universe plays out. So that was, I think, BC Talk's suggestion.
That's cool, because then if you want
to
debrief on it, you can. You've got someone to talk to. Yep. Great idea.
Everyone's read it. So, yeah, it's got me making the most of my subscription that I sort of, you know, took up when I was in New Zealand. And I'm like, well, I can justify this now because I've got someone to talk to about it.
Nice.
So, yeah. really good. I have finished it. With my Bluey stuff, I had, a bit of extra time on planes and stuff, and that's a good way to smash through a couple of issues. So I'm all done. I'm just waiting for people to catch up and we can talk about it.
Nice.
Sounds like I've got some homework to do. I'm about three issues in,
yep.
So I'm keen to finalize it so we can have a bit of a chat. But what I'm super excited about with this premise is that someone out there, as was 1602, is going to suggest something I've never considered or thought about reading,
yep.
And expose me to a different style of comic book art and writing that it's just going to blow my mind, much like Ben had with Invincible.
So that is hands down. And then terrible news, season 2 of Invincible has finished and season 3 is not sure
two
when
years
that
away.
Start.
Years
yeah.
Away.
And, but they've also greenlit season 4 and 5 already,
right.
because it's so popular.
Wow.
But if you're not watching Invincible, you're missing out. Again, another amazing show. So
mm-hmm.
I think I'm only just a little bit into season 2 of that. And I slipped that in between some of the X-Men stuff and all the kids' shows that I have to watch these days.
Well, I all my TV watching is at the sacrifice of Shogun. I'm only 3 episodes in Shogun because I'm watching all the other series, and so I'll go back and watch Shogun once I've caught up on all my other TV watching. But too much, so much good TV.
So much good TV, wonderful. All right, that's it for another episode. Before we go, shout out to the 350 episode that is coming up on May the 4th. So if you want to tune in to the live stream, we got our traditional big episode giveaways. So get in for some toy action, some giveaways. Tune in. We're going to do a live unboxing of a massive, massive item, which will remain secretly anonymous till now. But it should be a good show and have lots of fun. Is that pretty much it, Scotty? Have I missed anything?
Well, I'm just going to say that as it falls on May the 4th, which is an insignificant date, do not use that as a cue for what we're doing.
No.
Perfect.
Correct. Correct. Very good. All right, Morgan, thank you for coming in. Next episode is all about Transformers as we do a introspective on Transformers bad guys, the Decepticons. We go through kind
about
of G1.
Yeah,
looking forward to that. Some hard choices. This took me a while to compile my list, but looking forward to that. Morgan, we'll see. Thank you very much for attending, and we'll see you on the flip side.
No worries at all.
Gentlemen, wonderful pleasure as always. And to all our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Toy Power. To all our patrons, thank you so much for your chat on the Discord. And for those reading the Marvel Unlimited Book Club, enjoy the book club. We will see you around the toy aisles.
And until next time, good journey!
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast, at Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram, or have your say and email us, ToyPowerPodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.